his left. Tough shot. Made it. End of the line.
Bad pass. Tipped away and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Score!
Jones. Watford for the win.
Yes! Yes!
It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
Welcome back to Podcast on the Brink. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Today's show is brought to you, as always, by Inside the Hall and the Assembly Call. I encourage you to join the Inside the Hall forum if you want to participate in or just read some of the best and most informed IU discussion on the web, minus the trolls that you'll find elsewhere. Plus, Alex posts a number of forum-only tidbits that you won't want to miss. And make sure you bookmark assemblycall.com/live and head there immediately after every IU game. I'll always be there hosting the postgame show with Ryan Phillips and Andy Bottoms, providing instant reaction and analysis to whatever happened on the court for the Hoosiers that night. And let me just say that I'm really hoping that the game-in, game-out grind of the postgame shows is much more pleasant this year than it was last year, as are you, I'm sure. Which leads me perfectly into the subject of this episode. Because one of the reasons why many IU fans are optimistic about this year's team is a heralded freshman class led by two top 50 guards. Robert Johnson is one of the two headliners of Indiana's incoming freshman class. And while Johnson is unlikely to be the prolific scorer that fellow freshman classmate James Blackman Jr. will be, Johnson has the versatility on both ends of the floor to be a major contributor immediately. Johnson does a little bit of everything, as his stat line during IU's Canada Tour showed. Johnson averaged 9.8 points, 4.6 boards, 3.8 assists, and 2.2 steals in 24 minutes per game. Most impressively, especially for a freshman used to scoring consistently, Johnson didn't seem to let bad shooting affect his overall performance or his attitude, which seems to suggest an advanced level of maturity that will serve him well during a season in which he's expected to contribute right away in one of the toughest conferences in America. Then again, the more that you learn about Robert Johnson, the more you realize that maturity should be the least of our concerns with this freshman. On October 8th, Alex Bozich posted his 2014-15 player profile of Johnson, and in it he wrote, "At 6'3" and 195 pounds, Johnson has a college-ready body, and it's easy to see that he's been well-coached in both high school and AAU. Today on Podcast on the Brink, we talk with Johnson's high school coach at Benedictine Prep in Richmond, Virginia, Ryan Marable. Among the many topics we cover, Coach Marable and I discuss Robert's greatest strength as a basketball player, what he thinks will be the biggest adjustment for Robert going from high school to college, what former and current NBA players Robert's game most reminds him of, and plus, Coach Marable tells us what Robert is like off the court, and the question he asked Robert that helped convince him Indiana was the right place to take his talents. Joining me now on Podcast on the Brink is Ryan Marable, who coached incoming Indiana freshman Robert Johnson at Benedictine Prep in Richmond, Virginia, and has known Johnson since he was in the sixth grade. Coach Marable, welcome to the show, and thank you very much for taking the time and joining us today.
Happy to do it. Happy to be here.
So, you know, I speak on behalf of all IU fans when I say that I'm really, really excited to see Robert play this year, to get him in the cream and crimson. Obviously, we've all been excited to get him on campus since he committed. So let's start just by talking about him on the floor as a player. If you would, just kind of give us an overview of the kind of player that Indiana's getting.
Well, Robert's come a long way since I've known him, but that's a long time. He's just one of those guys that early on in his career, he shot the ball extremely well, and he wasn't satisfied with just being a shooter. He worked on his game, his ball handling, defense, rebounding, all facets of the game. He's just that type of guy that's going to, that I believe and we believe that is just going to, you know, be a great teammate up at Indiana, you know, for the next 4 years and be able to compete. And one game he might give you, you know, lead the team in points. The next game it might be rebounds. The next game it might be assists. He's just an all-around great basketball player. And You know, I know it's going to be a little difficult for him to, you know, from, you know, as a freshman, but I think he's going to be, you know, one of those guys that the fans really enjoy watching him play because he's kind of a throwback. He does everything well, and he just always makes the right plays. And it might not be the spectacular play, but it's just a great basketball play a lot of the times.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because, I mean, the only real, you know, look that we've had at him and the other freshmen is that tour that Indiana did in Canada. And what you said really kind of bore itself out there because, you know, Robert didn't shoot particularly well, but he did a lot of things well. You know, he scored about 10 points, he got assists, he got rebounds, he got steals. Do you think that versatility is his greatest attribute as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I truly do, you know, because I think, you know, I watched a couple of the games and followed the games in Montreal and, Coach Crean had said, you know, oh, I didn't even realize he went 0 for whatever he did that one game, because he was doing so many other things well. I think, you know, all coaches and all fans want guys who are going to be able to bring it on the defensive end, you know, make other guys around you better, even on your off nights. And I really believe that that is his best asset. Even though he has a lot of other strengths as well, his versatility is just, you know, top notch, and it'll allow him to do a lot of different things on any given night.
Now, you did an interview with Inside the Hall, I think last year, talking about Robert after he committed. And, you know, when you guys were talking about his senior season, and you guys went 25-7, you said, quote, "I feel like he really grew into almost a college freshman playing high school basketball this year." Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, he was able to, first of all, his work ethic was far better than it was as a junior, as far as not taking any days off and any games off and any chances to be a great leader. He was always leading by example, always leading with his voice. And that was one of the things that I think he worked on the most, was being able to, he always led by example with his workouts and his play and how hard he played, but he didn't always verbalize what he wanted from his teammates and what he needed from his teammates. And he really worked on that. And I think that's part of being a great college freshman or a college freshman anyway, is to learn how to, you know, not only talk to your teammates, but be a leader, give negative criticism to people or constructive criticism to people so that they get better. You know, he was able to, he was the focal point on the offensive end, but he never had a game where he didn't give as much effort on the defensive end, if not more on the defensive end than he did the offensive end. And we needed him to score a lot of points last year. And I think that's really gonna, or that's why I said he became a college freshman, because you can't take plays off at that level, at any level in the Division I. You know, in any conference in the Division I level, but he never took a playoff. He was guarding the best player on his team, whether it was a point guard or, you know, sometimes even a four or five man. And I think that's what it takes, being able to play every single possession like it matters, no matter how good the team is, no matter how, you know, how much you're up, how much you're down. He just took it, and he was almost like a, to be honest, almost like a professional work ethic and mentality. And I think that's what, you know, high major basketball programs do, like Indiana. It's they're professional basketball players in their approach to the game.
Yeah. Now, you know, you obviously at Benedictine, you guys have a reputation for placing guys in Division I. And I think you placed four Division I players during Robert's junior season, before his senior year. Do you, you know, it kind of sounded like, you know, a little bit like the light went on for Robert, but, you know, between his junior and senior year. Maybe not that he hadn't been working hard before, but kind of taking that next level like you described. Do you see that as kind of a trend with guys who, you know, are going to be playing at that high D1 or just D1 level, that, you know, as it gets closer to graduation, that light clicks on, the stakes are raised a little bit, and they start to understand what coaches mean by playing every possession and playing both ends? Is that something you see with a lot of those guys in your experience?
Yeah, I think so. I think it depends where you're at. With us, our seniors and upperclassmen, they know where they're going, and then they get to play that high level during the summer within the camps that they're invited to and things like that. So when they see other guys, and you know, it's a little different at the public school level, but, you know, we're at a private school where we got to play a lot of, you know, high-ranked basketball teams and guys that are going, every team just about had one guy going to a high major level. The more you see it, I think the more, you know, you're able to, the kids are able to say, okay, I might not be as good as I thought I was, or I want to be better than that guy that I played against at the LeBron camp or in AAU and the EYBL or something like that. So it does kind of come on, but it's not like it doesn't really happen for everybody, I don't think, but mm-hmm. you know, the good ones and the ones that are disciplined enough to, it certainly helps, because, you know, a lot of the guys who come to our school, do transfer over, and so they're not used to playing of the schedule that we're used to playing night in and night out. And, you know, they don't always experience success right away. And I think that's the best thing, you know, that could happen, because they get that adversity as a senior or as a junior, as opposed to getting it when they're away from home as a freshman or sophomore, or, you know, in college, where, I'm not good enough, I need to turn it on. And then by then it's too late.
Mm-hmm. You know, as we start to talk about Robert transitioning, you know, to playing big time D1 college basketball, one of the quotes from your previous interview with Inside the Hall that I really liked is, you know, it sounded like you guys spent a lot of time last year prepping Robert for college. You know, you talked about having him handle the ball and initiate the offense and guard different positions, rebound from the guard position, a lot of stuff he's going to be asked to do for Indiana this year and in the future. First of all, thank you for that. I'm sure we're all going to reap the benefits this season. But with that said, what do you think is the biggest weakness in Robert's game right now, especially as we project forward, you know, to the night-in, night-out grind to the Big Ten season? What will he need to improve upon the most as a freshman to earn big minutes and contribute?
Well, I think, you know, I was lucky enough to play college basketball myself, and I've talked to with it a lot about, you know, talked about things with other coaches and players that I've coached and been around. And I think Robert's going to experience the same thing. It's just the speed of college basketball is just, you can't replicate it at the high school level. You know, I think his first couple of games, it might feel like he's playing against seven guys on defense, because that energy level and that things like, all of the things that go with your emotions, and not only the skill level of those other guys, is just going to be heightened so much. And there's so much attention to detail at the next level, and we just prepare them as much as possible. But that speed is something I just don't think you can replicate at the high school level. And I think that he's going to struggle with that. And I think all the freshmen are going to struggle with that as well. You know, but I think Coach Crean and the staff, they're going to try to prepare those guys as much as they can for it, so that they are ready for it. But I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of times he looked like a freshman. And, you know, you don't want to say that, because these guys are top 100 players, and, you know, and you prepared them as much as you can. But, you know, realistically, there's not that many freshmen that just come out there and are able to be great right away, you know.
Yeah.
So I think the speed of the game, especially because he is, and Coach Crean has done a great job with him, I'm sure he is going to be counted on to handle the ball a little bit more, even, you know, at that level. Whereas, you know, like a Yogi, he was handling the ball and playing the point very early in his career as a high school player. Robert's kind of transitioned into that. And I think, you know, he's not there yet. I think he will be able to handle the ball, you know, at an exceptional rate when he gets, you know, used to the speed. But, you know, any guy that, you know, any point guard that has the ball in his hands that much, or is asked to do a lot, like I think the guards will be at Indiana, even with Yogi, will be, you know, they're going to have their freshman moment. So mm-hmm. That's what I think he's going to have to get used to the most and might struggle with early on. But if I know Robert, it's not going to be something that sets him back too much.
You know, and on the flip side of that, you know, talking about reasons why, I mean, yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, I'm sure like most freshmen, he'll struggle with the speed, but looking for reasons why he'll also excel. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but just in reading interviews and reading articles and, you know, since he's committed and signed, he seems very mature for a college freshman. And granted, that's impossible to know without ever having met him, but you know, you've known him since sixth grade. Is that something that you consider a strength of his?
Oh yeah, his maturity is through the roof. I mean, he was lucky, you know, he was blessed with a great family, great mother, great father, and his dad played basketball at Virginia Union around the time that Ben Wallace was there. And he's worked out with Ben Wallace, and Richmond doesn't have, you know, we're not California or somewhere that has a ton of pro basketball players, but we've had NBA basketball players, but we do have some that come through and have been successful. And every summer those guys come out and they work out with Ben and they play in the summer leagues and things like that. And so Robert's been around pros, or successful college player winners probably his whole life. And I think that's really helped him because he's watched guys, on and off the court, how they handle themselves, their work ethic. His dad even plays in a men's league right now with Ben Wallace. So, and is still playing. So he knows how to compete, but he also knows how to handle himself, you know, away from the court with other guys around him, with the media, things like that, just because of his upbringing. And also I think he's had good coaches, not only myself, but all the other coaches that have got their hands on Robert have all prepared him. He started as a freshman at LC Byrd, when they were a pretty good team. I think they were one game away from the state tournament that year with him as a freshman, upset the number one team in the country. I mean, in the city, that year. And, he's been thrown into the fire and been around adults and other kids and or young adults that have handled themselves the right way. And he's seen people make bad decisions and not handle things well. So I think that adds to his maturity. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, like I said, I have yet to see Robert play a full game, but from all the descriptions that I hear about him, he reminds me of, you know, just in talking about former Hoosiers, a guy like Greg Graham, which is a name that a lot of IU fans will know, a well-regarded recruit with skills on both ends who really showed steady improvement each season to the point where by his senior year, he was regarded as one of the best guards in America. Who does Robert's game remind you of? Either, you know, kind of current player, past player, someone that we can kind of grasp onto for a comparison?
That's a good question. I think each year, you know, he always reminds me of somebody else. Recently, I've been watching some NBA TV over the summer since I teach and I have my summers off. But sometimes he has a little bit of a Mitch Richmond type game where he can really get going fast, but he also competes, you know, and does everything else well. And he's a big, strong guard that can do things, you know, without the basketball in his hands if he needs to. I was watching a little bit of the Celtics, and I'm sure some guys in Indiana follow Brad Stevens being there. Marcus Thornton, who is playing with the Celtics in the preseason, who played at, LSU. He's not super explosive. He's not, he's sneaky explosive, I guess, but he's strong, but he's not going to like blow by you and do something crazy. He's just super solid, like a Marcus Thornton. And then you look at the score sheet and he has, you know, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, something like that. So, but if he gets going, he gets going kind of like Mitch Richmond did.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that's a good throwback game right there. That would play very well in Bloomington, I assure you.
Right. And I think that's what Robert is. I think he's just a throwback type player, and he still wants to get better, and he's still going to get better. But, you know, he's flashy in a throwback type of way.
Yeah. Excellent. So let's project forward a little bit, you know, knowing what you know about, you know, the player Robert is, his work ethic, his potential. What do you see as his ceiling as a college basketball player?
You know, I would like, you know, to be able to know what he's going to be like, because, you know, I love Robert so much and love his family so much. You know, I'm probably just as nervous as his mom and dad are and everything about what he's going to be and how well he's going to do, because I want the best for him because such a great kid. I can see him really being a maybe an all freshman Big Ten player. Maybe I don't think he's a player of the year type, because I don't think he's gonna do one thing really, really well to kind of stand out in that regard. He could, because he surprises me even then. But I think he's just gonna be. I think he's gonna be one of those guys that's just looked back as he could go down as a 3-year All Big Ten guy. But he's just gonna be a winner. He's gonna help that program get back to where they want to be, and he's gonna get guys around him, playing as hard as he wants them to play, and he just almost his enthusiasm and his work ethic and his maturity are just contagious. And I know Coach Crane has brought in other guys like him this year. So I'm excited for him in Indiana. But I think he's just going to be one of those guys that's a winner. And, he wants to get those guys to the NCAA tournament this year. And he always wants to play, be the last guy playing every year. So, yeah. I think, similar to the guy you were talking about earlier, he's just going to be a guy who gets better every year. And by the end of it, he's a winner. He's a fan favorite. People obviously are going to be wearing his jersey because he's number 4, but and because of Victor. But hopefully, he makes them forget about Victor wearing that number 4 dish very quickly, and it's a Robert Johnson jersey.
That's a lot to live up to. I would say hopefully he helps us remember Victor, because we have so many positive thoughts of Victor. If he can help us remember Victor and play like that, he'll be well on his way to a great career. That's for sure.
I'll take that too.
So let me ask you that same question, but on the flip side. And maybe it's a little bit tougher to answer, but as we know, sometimes recruits' careers don't pan out like you think, and everybody, you kind of feel like you have a handle on where people fit and what they're going to do when they're coming in. But let's say 2-3 years down the road, Robert's career isn't quite going like all of us think it's going to be, and it's not for injury related reasons. What would be your guess as to why that would be? And again, hopefully this is something that's never rooted in reality.
Yeah, that's a tough question. Hopefully the reason would be that he was able to get recruits to come in, that maybe he was their guy on campus, and they just brought in, because of a guy like him and the relationships, they just brought in guys that were way better than him. And, and that was, that was his doing, and he loves to win. So I could see him, if that happened and he was able to do that, and, he played well, but guys were just better than him. He would take, 12 minutes a game in a national championship over 40 minutes a game and bowing out in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, if I know him like I think I do. So, that's a tough question. I don't think it would be anything on his doing, to be honest with you, because like all the stuff that you talked about, how mature he is, and then what I talked about with how well-rounded he is, how hard he works, I really couldn't see that happening as long as there just wasn't guys coming in that were one and done pros or, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that would really push him out.
Well, let's hope that the worst case scenario is 12 minutes on a national championship team, but certainly, from everything right. you said about him and what we've seen, it sounds like it'll be a solid career. He strikes me as the kind of guy who, maybe he doesn't have the one and done, the two and done type potential, but he seems like the kind of solid 3 or 4 year guy that a good program is built on. You need those guys to provide stability, like Victor was, when he was there for 3 years. And I think everybody's hope and expectation is that that's what Robert will be.
Right. And I think, Coach Crean did a great job, and Kenny as well, but more so Coach Crean taking the lead on just the expectations for him. And, you got to tip your hat to a guy like Coach Crean. I have the utmost respect for him. Like he wants guys that are going to, and a lot of coaches don't, similar to Calipari. Like if we can get you to be as good as you can be and you can leave in 3 years, then we're going to support you. And it might set our program back a little bit, but we're going to try to find the next one. A lot of coaches aren't honest with that and might try to hold you back a little bit so that you're not as good, so you don't leave. But, Coach Crean was honest. We want to get you to be a 2 or 3 year guy. And, if you stay 4, we'll take it. But, we want you to achieve your goals. And Robert's goal is to play in the NBA, similar to Victor. So, it's one of those types of situations.
You know, it's interesting you said that because you had a quote actually with an interview that you did with Hardwood Insiders that I think kind of alludes to this very thing where you said, referring to the Benedictine program, our biggest thing is when kids come into our program, their dreams are our dreams, which really just strikes me as such an excellent leadership philosophy, no matter the field. You know, and you kind of talked about it there with Coach Crean, where it's, you know, his goal is to help the players achieve whatever their goals are, and hopefully the program will then achieve its goals as well, but the focus is on the player. It sounds like that's probably exactly the same thing that you guys try and do at Benedictine as well.
Yeah, it is. And to be 100% honest with you, you know, being a teacher, I steal, you know, my best lessons or other teachers' best lessons and things like that. And I actually stole that quote from Shaka Smart, who's doing a pretty good job here at VCU. And that's what one of the things he said in his press conference. So that's one of the things as a coach, I always, you know, even when Robert was a sixth grader, his goal was to start on a varsity team as a ninth grader. And I said, hey, that's my goal too then. So, you know, I always said that that's the reason I coach. And I think the best coaches and the best leaders and the guys who have the best relationships with guys, you know, they're, you know, player coaches. And I think Coach Crean is that way. And, you know, he hasn't done anything to show me otherwise, with any of his guys. But I think that's why Robert really fell in love with Coach Crean, because he's seen that before. He's seen guys give all of themselves to him to make him better. And I think that's what Coach Crean does.
Yeah, you know, it really struck me when I read that, because I know in some quotes you've given and some other things I'd read, you know, the biggest reason for Robert choosing Indiana over the likes of North Carolina and Virginia and Florida State was, you know, the fit. Indiana needed guards. He'd be able to fit and play. You know, but it also seems like that connection with Coach Crean, with a coach who really has that philosophy, you know, probably reminded him a lot of yourself and the relationship he had with you. And I'm sure there was a comfort level there, especially knowing that, you know, he's going further away from home and just knowing that his best interest would be, you know, would be taken care of. I'm sure that was a big part of his decision.
Yeah. You know, one thing we said, you know, when I said, we sat down and I had five questions for Robert, or five or six questions, and, you know, about his recruitment. And one of them was, which coach is not going to let you have a bad day? Like, is going to refuse to let you have a bad day. And if you do have a bad day, he's not going to let you come back the next day and have another bad day. And you know, Coach Crean was the guy who he wrote down, or he told me, he's like, yeah, I just don't think he's going to let me have two bad days in a row, you know? So I think that was one of the things, because I was, you know, other than his dad and himself, I was probably Robert's toughest critic. And, you know, it was always, you can always do better. You can always do more. You can always give more. And I think, you know, like you said, the comfort level with Coach Crean doing that, or portraying that as well, was something that I took to, and I think Robert did too. And I didn't have much in the recruitment of Robert, or I didn't tell him where he should go, but I asked him, you know, a bunch of questions, and, you know, I think that influenced him a little bit, because I think they were good questions for him to kind of look back and analyze and things like that. And, you know, ultimately he made the decision, his parents made the decision with his comfort level. But I was very, very comfortable with any of those schools that he would have chosen from. But, you know, I'm excited for the opportunities that, you know, you said, with the guard play and the play for a guy like Coach Crean.
I'm curious what some of the other questions were. You said you had five questions that you asked him? Because that first one was great.
Yeah, that was probably the best one, because, you know, I'd seen Robert some days. He would, you know, just like any kid, you have a long day in school. You might not want to be there. You might be thinking about what you're doing afterwards. Mm-hmm. That was probably the best question. A lot of them were, you know, where could you see yourself if you got injured? You know, being comfortable and not transferring somewhere else if something did happen, you know, worst case scenario, something did happen and you couldn't play, who do you think would, or what school would you be comfortable at with the guys and still feel part of the team? You know, certain questions like that, you know, where, if you weren't playing right away, where would you feel comfortable that you could get on the floor quicker, or, you know, all of those things. So
what school has the best, most supportive fans, you know, all the important stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So as we wrap up here, what's Robert like off the court? You know, what's his personality like? Is he quiet? Is he funny? Is he, you know, does he like to run around and sing like Victor? Like, what kind of person is he?
No, he's kind of the, he's kind of the guy that kind of will stand on the wall and, you know, one smile can say a lot, you know. He kind of lays back in the cut a little bit until he gets to know you, and he's got a kind of a sneaky funniness about him and sneaky sense of humor. But, you know, he likes to, you know, sit back. How I've seen him, you know, even as a young middle schooler and stuff, he likes to sit back and kind of observe what everything is going around. And then he might make the one comment that makes everybody laugh, or, you know, he says a lot with his smile, says a lot with his, you know, with his facial expressions, but he doesn't always say a lot with his mouth. And when he does talk, people listen. So, he's just a great kid, great to be around. My mom worked at the middle school that he went to. And even when I left the middle school as an eighth grader, I went to a different school and he still, went there. My mom still worked at that school. He would stop by every day and give her a hug and talk to her. And he's just that type of kid. You know, he always comes and gives my dad a hug when he sees him at games. And, you know, he's like, I've said many times, you know, I have two daughters now. I just had another daughter recently, and you know, he's the type of kid you want your daughter to marry. So I think that speaks volumes to the type of kid he is, and you know, shows everybody else what type of kid he is.
Yeah, I think that's just about the best compliment you can give right there. I know we're really looking forward to seeing Robert play, and we appreciate your insight on him, and I'm sure after listening to this interview, everybody will be even more excited about watching him play.
Yes,
so.
Yes, I'm looking forward to those first couple games. I'm going to try to get up to the first regular season game up there, I think, against is it Mississippi Valley State? They play first regular season game.
That sounds right. Yeah, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but that sounds
right. November 14th, I think I'm going to try to get up there and check them out. So I always try to see one game a year of our guys. So hopefully that works out. If not, I'm sure I'll be able to get up there at some point, because I'm looking forward to seeing them. And, you know, in those, you know, we wore the candy stripes last year as warm-up pants, but I'm looking forward to seeing them in the crimson and cream.
That's great. Well, hey, hopefully you can make it up to Bloomington, and hopefully your season goes well. Best of luck to you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate that.
All right, Coach.
Go Hoosiers.
That's right. Go Hoosiers.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. If you enjoyed the episode, please consider leaving the show a rating or a review on iTunes, and I always welcome your feedback personally. You can tweet me at @assemblycall or email me Jared, Jerod, @assemblycall.com. And of course, my thanks again to our guest on this episode, Coach Ryan Marable of Benedictine Prep. Thank you again, Coach. We wish you the best of luck in your upcoming season. And don't forget, to everybody out there, join the Inside the Hall Forum and join me on the Assembly Call after every IU game this season. It should be a fun one. All right, have fun at Hoosier Hysteria, everyone. Can you believe it's less than 2 weeks away? I know, I'm giddy. I won't be there, of course, living in Dallas, unfortunately, but I can't wait to hear about it from everybody who is. I'm sure it will be a fun, exciting night, hopefully a harbinger of a great, wonderful season to come for the Hoosiers. All right, talk to you soon, everybody.